Got several different topics to discuss as we roll through the spring on BunSports.com. Welcome into the BunSports Podcast. I'm Jacob Bunn. I'm joined by the professor as always every week. It is Friday. We're at the end of a week this week coming to you talking about spring football and some other topics. We'll start in college basketball where the Kentucky Wildcats were knocked off by the Wisconsin Badgers, setting up the Wisconsin-Duke matchup in the finals, which of course went to the Blue Devils. Duke with another national championship. It's their fifth. Coach Gay gets his fourth, another tremendous year for the Blue Devils, and Kentucky wasn't able to get it done. What were your overall impressions of the Final Four and the way it ended up?
Well, first of all, Jacob, I'll have to say that the Final Four this year was all strong, good teams, top-notch coaches, the best of the lot, and so we had a great Final Four, one of the best we've had in quite a while, I think.
I think it was, too. Let's talk about Kentucky for just a second. They come so close. They have this run, 38 games. Everybody, it's a foregone conclusion. They're going 40-0. They're going to be national champions. But they stumble against Wisconsin. Frank Kaminsky and Sam Decker and the Wisconsin Badgers under head coach Bo Ryan did a sensational job of just shutting them down late in that game. They just could not find their footing, Kentucky. They were up four at one point, and then they just lost it. Talk about Kentucky. Is this something that can they get to the top with this one and done the way they do things there?
Yeah, I think they can. I think what happens is that during the year, his team is so much just so much better than the other teams. They don't really learn how to play together in the critical time of a game, and so consequently they didn't know where to go. If you notice the last two or three possessions there, they went down and they threw the ball around and just couldn't even get a shot. They didn't know what to do because they'd not been there. I know they had two or three close games, but their athleticism and their overpowering strength just took over those games. But in this situation, there were good players on the other team as well. And consequently, I just don't think they knew exactly what do we do next.
Kentucky does not get the win. And, of course, as we said, Duke does. Alabama hired Avery Johnson to be their basketball coach, and we've seen some interesting basketball hires in the SEC. Rick Barnes to Tennessee, Ben Howland to Mississippi State, of course, last year Bruce Pearl to Auburn, and now Avery Johnson to Alabama. What does this do for the Crimson Tide program, and what does it say about the SEC getting some of these hires?
Well, I think if we look at the SEC to start with, Jacob, you'd have to say that the water level is rising in the SEC by the fact of the coaches that they're bringing in and the coaches that are already here, and seemingly there's better players coming into the conference. So we might see something of a great upsurge in basketball. Now, as far as A.J. Johnson, we wonder, when we think about, Coach Johnson coming in, Avery is a really outstanding coach. I remember watching him play when he played for the San Antonio Spurs. I remember watching him coach. Always admired him. Always admired him for his character, just the way he gives himself totally to it. And I think it's quite a, even though some might say it's outside the box hire, I'm not sure about that. It's getting a quality coach. And I believe he will do something when he puts his team on the court. I think they'll be better prepared, and I think they'll probably increase their talent. But more than anything, he's infusing enthusiasm and commitment and belief into the Alabama basketball fans.
Well, if his teams play as aggressively as his personality is, as we've seen in his opening introductory statement and some of the interviews he's been in, I think Alabama will be a very, very formidable opponent in the coming years in basketball. And I'll tell you one thing that he did that was impressive, and he was a guest on the show that I work on in Birmingham, opening drive on WJOX. He talked about football and how he embraces a school with a football tradition, and I think that's critical in the SEC because you have a lot of schools that, of course, are football-driven, and he knows that. And he's not coming in trying to take over and be the dominant force in the program. He just wants the basketball program to be on its own right, and I think he embraces Nick Saban, and I think that's very important.
I think the idea of a football school having a strong basketball program is something that's made up in the minds of certain people. Probably got its birth with the media saying that. Because if you think about it, Shaka Smart, who's the new basketball coach at the University of Texas, he said that one of the criteria he had, he wanted to go to a school that had a strong football program because of the resources it brings into the school.
No doubt about it. Well, let's talk about some football now. Let's transition to some of these football schools and let's talk about them. Coordinators are coming in the SEC this year. We got a slew of new ones. And this spring, I think, is the first chance we see how they're going to impact things. You talk about Kevin Steele, LSU, of course, John Chavis at A&M, and Auburn hiring Will Muschamp and several others. Talk about, and I also think Brian Schottenheimer going to Georgia will be interesting, too. So talk about these coordinators and what we're seeing from them this spring.
Well, I think, first of all, that Kevin Steele going to LSU, replacing John Chavis, who's going to Texas A&M. There are two things. First of all, Kevin Steele is an outstanding person, and he's had a good career as a defensive coordinator. I don't know that he's ever been viewed as one of the best in the country, anything of that nature. But, Jacob, don't you think that just the things going on at LSU, it seems like they're kind of losing direction of where they want to go and what they want to be, and there seems to be just a little bit of anxiousness with the LSU Tigers.
With all due respect to Kevin Steele, who I like, going from the Chief to Kevin Steele, to me, seems like a step down in the quality of defensive coordinator. Now, I have a lot of respect for Kevin Steele. He's done great things, did great things at Clemson, Alabama, certainly put together some great linebacking cores for the Crimson Tide, so that's fine. But I don't know. It just seems like LSU is kind of falling back from the dominance they've held the last few years under Les Miles.
Then I guess you would say that Texas A&M is going to benefit from having John Chapin.
I would say that Mark Snyder needed to be replaced the year before, and they finally replaced him, and I think it's the right move. And not only did they replace him, they got a guy in there who can coach, and John Chavis, he's hungry, he's looking for a new start. I wouldn't be surprised if Texas A&M has a new defensive attitude. They may not have the players yet, but they'll have a new defensive attitude in 2015. Well, another key question this spring, I think everybody wants to know, if Alabama's the front runner, and some people think they are in the SEC, who's the prominent player? I mean, who's going to be the quarterback of the Alabama team? A lot of people think Jake Coker by default, but there are some other guys there that are challenging.
I think so. I think it's interesting so far this spring, at least of what we have seen and heard, there's no one that's really stepped forward. But they all seem to be doing well. They all seem to be making improvement. And I think they have three or four that any one of those could be the starter. From what I'm observing, though, I don't think that Barrett will be that starter. I thought maybe he would come in and really
because
of his talent. Yeah, Blake Barnett. I thought because of his talent, he might be able to make a better push, but it doesn't seem like that's happening.
Would it be concerning to you, if you're an Alabama fan listening to this program, is it concerning to you that Jake Coker just can't seem to wrap this thing up? I mean, last year, he was the guy, and then Blake Sims came out of nowhere, but I think it was some Blake Sims, but also the fact that Jake Coker just didn't get the offense. Is it concerning that he just can't take the lead on this thing?
Well, it could be, but on the other hand, it may be that they're just allowing everybody else to have a good chance, because you don't just need one quarterback prepared. You need to have more than one. I think you could ask Ohio State about that.
Yeah, that's a perfect segue. Ohio State, man, they are loaded at the quarterback position. Who's going to be their quarterback?
I don't know. I don't even know if the coach knows. But it's going to be interesting. They're going to have two good ones standing on the sideline holding the clipboard, aren't they?
Do you think it's a good idea? Do you think Braxton Miller should move to a skill position?
Well, if he's not going to play quarterback, then he probably should if he's going to get on the field. It's like I've heard about one of the quarterbacks at Alabama may be moving to a skill position. So these players that have a lot of ability, they need to get on the field.
Let's talk about the new head coach in the SEC. There's only one this year. Last year there were several, but this year the Jim McElwain administration is taking over in Gainesville, and Florida, of course, looks to rebound offensively. That's what they need down there, some offense. But they need a lot of things. In fact, they're not going to be in competitive shape, I don't think, for the East this year. But what can you expect from Jim McElwain? What strides does he need to make this spring with his team there as they try to get them kind of turned around there in Gainesville?
I think that Jim McElwain's contribution will be that he will get everyone headed in the same direction. There'll be a kind of a sense of unity there. It won't be as the bombarding of the whole situation won't be like it has been. And so I think there'll be more focus, and I think that's what he's good at. He brings the everybody together and points them in a direction, and he coordinates quite well. So I think that's what you're going to see, a team that's much more focused and much more unified in what it wants to be. It seemed like last year they had no clue where they were going or what they wanted to be.
Big running backs in the SEC this year. It's going to be a year of the running back, I think. Again, you see Nick Chubb at Georgia. We know what he did last year. Has Todd Gurley had his issues and suspensions and all that? Nick Chubb was able to step in and do a great job, along with Sony Michel and some of the other running backs there at Georgia. LSU's Leonard Fournette, of course. A lot of people were saying he was going to be a Heisman contender as a freshman. He wasn't able to do that, but he was still very impressive. And then, of course, Derrick Henry, the beast at Alabama, who continues to run over people. Who needs to have a big spring here, or do they? Any of them need to have a big spring? And who's the front runner, do you think, in the SEC as the running back this year?
Well, if Nick Chubb is going to dominate like he did last year, it's going to be Nick Chubb. But the question is, can he do that? How did he do that? I mean, he came in and tell you the truth, Jacob. He ran the ball and did better, performed better than Gurley, who was one of the best in the country. I mean, I don't know where this guy came from as a freshman to come in and do what he did. It's just simply amazing. But when you look at Leonard Fournette, he was considered to be the man. He had a good year for a freshman, but not like Nick Chubb. But he had a very good year. He's a really good quality back. Now he'll have time to get stronger, more fit into the system. And then you look at somebody like Derrick Henry. He had some flashes of greatness last year. Can he do that game in and game out? We don't know. So it's going to be real interesting to see if this is not going to be the year of the running back in the SEC.
Spring is in full swing here in the South, and we are talking football because that's what we do year-round. But spring games will be happening all over the place next weekend, and we'll preview them with you next week on the Bun Sports Podcast. We'll talk about what to expect from some of these spring games, Alabama and Auburn both holding theirs a week from this Saturday. So we'll talk about that, as well as spring football wrapping up. The Masters gets wrapped up this week. We'll talk about who wins that and where does golf go from here with the professor next week, as well as a number of other things as on the Bun Sports Podcast. For the professor, I am Jacob Bun. Hope you have a great weekend, and we will see you next week.